Let's pray. Father, we thank you for everything that has happened tonight already. I just pray as we come to your holy word that you will speak. Speak with a voice that touches every heart, Lord, we pray. Lord, we need you. Would you come now? In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just letting you know that. I had a message, but I feel I'm not meant to bring that one tonight. And I don't have another one. Except what I'm feeling God stirring in my heart. And this is what God has been stirring. Listening to Gillian, the phrase came into my mind, the devil has done a number on us. You know that expression? The devil has done a number on us. And my mind went, and I don't want to read this per se, but in the Garden of Eden, you know the story. I hope most people, I think, know the story, but just in case you don't, God created us in a perfect world. And he looked at us and said that all of creation was good and that we were very good. We were the pinnacle of his creation. And there was a being in the universe who did not like that. He wanted to be the center of attention, the center of creation. And in fact, the point where he actually wanted to usurp God and take God's glory away. And we know him as Lucifer or Satan. And he had fallen from heaven and he had come down to earth. This is the story goes in the book of Genesis. And he enters into the perfect world that God had created. And God had only given Adam and Eve one command. Of all the trees of the garden they would freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they must not eat of it, for in the day they ate of it, they would die. And temptations often like that. The very thing you're told not to do is the thing that you want to do. And this is without sin, by the way. They had no sin in their being at this point in time. But I want you to see how the mess spread across the whole of humanity. The mess of fallenness, brokenness, sin. Satan came to Adam and Eve and said, has God really said that in the day that you eat of this, that you will die? Now, you might hear it said sometimes that Satan was doubting God's word, and that he was doing. But I want you to understand it was even deeper than that. He was casting doubt upon God's because God's word reflects who he is. You see, your word expresses your mind and your heart. And isn't it interesting? That's what Jesus, John's gospel says. He was and is the Logos, the word of God. He was in the beginning with God. He was God. Everything created was created by the Logos, the word. Because the word expresses who God is. That's why when we look at Jesus Christ, and this is why we're Christians. This is why we're not just Jewish people or other monotheistic religions like Islam. We are Christians because we believe that God has a son. And his son, Jesus, is also his word, the expression of his mind and his heart, his very person. And so what Satan wants to do is not just attack God's word. Because, listen, Christianity right across the whole world has the Bible. Now, they don't all, you know, interpret it the same way. And they don't all adhere to it identically. And they don't all, value the weight of Scripture the same way. And some traditions have a lot of their own teaching, dogma, authoritarianism, and traditions mixed all in there. Okay. But what I'm trying to say is the Word of God is very, very important. But what is more important is what the Word of God reflects, what the Word of God is a revelation of, what the Word of God is meant to be demonstrating and embodying, which is God, His heart, who He is, what He's like. And the first lie that humanity had been sold in the Garden of Eden was, God is withholding something from you. He knows that if you do this, that you'll be like Him. And that was the very thing that Satan wanted and couldn't have. And interesting, he sold the same lie to humanity and they bought it. Oh, this Father that we have come to know and walk in the cool of the day with in the garden and talk with Him and eat with Him and dine with Him, and He's provided this paradise resort for us to live and work and breathe in, and He's given us dominion over the whole universe, even naming the very animals. This Father is actually a killjoy. He's a prison officer withholding something from us. And you know, I think that is the, I don't know who's to say what the biggest lie is, but it's one of the biggest, greatest lies that we have believed. And you know how I know that that is a lie? Because Adam and Eve believed the liar. And then believing the liar, they empowered the lie. Think about that. When you believe the liar, you empower the lie. And the lie becomes your truth. And they sinned and they took of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. There was another tree in the garden, the tree of life, which effectively is communion with God and Jesus Christ. That's what we're meant to eat of. Not knowing everything, not having all the answers, but actually knowing Him, having a relationship with Him. So they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It says that by their disobedience, sin came upon all mankind, and with sin came the result of death. And right away, immediately, God is walking around the garden looking for Adam and Eve. Now, you may have been taught a message that God is hiding from you. That you're separated from God. Now, I'm not underestimating that our sin is a problem. It is a great problem. But you know what the Bible teaches? And this is deep stuff. I haven't delved the depths of it, I can assure you. Especially before this. But this will blow your mind if you really get it. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the cross of Jesus Christ, was not some kind of emergency plan. Break the glass in case of an emergency and there's the cross and that will fix it. No, no, no. Now this is hard to get your head around. I know it. You'll never get your head around it. But here's the way to help you not getting your head around it. God already, Jesus already, had decided that they would show their love to a humanity that they knew was going to turn its back on them. That is the kind of love that God has. Not making a perfect creation and they botch it all up and He's thinking, let me just wipe them out and start all over again. No. He is going to display His eternal love to all of humanity.
by following us in our sin. Right? So how does he do it? In the garden. And I know I'm not turning to verses here, but I'm quoting the Bible. I hope you recognize that. In the garden, Adam, where are you? Where was he and his wife? They were hiding. Who was hiding? God wasn't hiding. They were hiding. And why were they hiding? The first words, and I think I've taught you this before, the first words that we hear coming out of a human being's mouth are these: I was afraid. Isn't that interesting? Because some of you are afraid here tonight. And some of you are afraid of God. Oh, the fear of God, blah, blah, blah. I know all the verses. But the fear of God is not being afraid of God. The fear of God is an awe and a reverence and a respect of God, like you would have for your earthly father if you have a good relationship with them. You wouldn't disrespect them or abuse them. That's what the fear of God is. It's not being afraid. And here we have, in a one moment a perfect world, the next moment a fallen world, but God doesn't change. He didn't fall. His heart still remained as loving toward Adam and Eve as it had been before. So what separated them from God? I'll tell you what separated them: fear and shame. And that's what religion thrives on. And religion has been separating men and women from God throughout all history and telling them, well, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do the other. Now, I'm not skipping out the whole Bible, okay? But what I am saying is this: the God that is in this book from start to finish, and the God that Gillian Molloy encountered, speaking to her when she was in New Age, speaking to her when she was transgender, is the God that speaks to us and loves us. No matter who we are, where we are, or what we've done. And the lie of the devil is that he's way out there with his back to you and he can't even. Now, if you've been taught that, you've been taught a lie. Because the God that this book displays is a God who came into our world and into our humanity and into our filth and into our sin. And he took the worst that this world and darkness could throw at him on the cross in order to carry it away. He absorbed it in himself. This is our God. And this is his love towards sinners. Let me read a couple of scriptures as I am finishing. Acts 17. In the light of what I've just shared and the light of what Gillian has shared, Acts 17. verse 22, Acts 17, 22. Paul's at the Areopagus in Greece, where a lot of the philosophers sit around talking, and there's a lot of false gods and religious rite go on in this place. And of course the Greeks were very proud of their learning and so forth, centre of culture and academia and philosophy. Verse 22, and Paul's there debating them, and he stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.'" Listen, I know what I'm saying here, all right? You could be a Christian 40 years and he's still an unknown God to you.
So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. Now listen to this. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life. God doesn't need you, and he doesn't need your repentance either. He's the one who gives everything, life, breath, and everything else. From one man he made all nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our beings, a being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Has anybody in the room ever heard this? He is not far from any one of us. That's not what we hear. Christians look at the news or read the newspapers or see what's going on, you know, and maybe, gay pride or something down the town, Belfast, and they look at it, godlessness, godlessness, God's angry. They're far from God. No, they're not. They could be nearer to God than you are. Look at Gillian. Look at Acts 17. For he is not far. Do you know what people are looking for? They're looking for love. They're looking for belonging. They're looking for community. They're looking for people that have their back. And they'll go almost anywhere to get that. Do you sense he's near you tonight? Have you heard his voice? One more scripture, Romans chapter 10. Verse 6. There's a whole context to this, but I don't have time to go into it. But verse 6. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. And some of us have this idea that we have to climb in order to achieve some kind of standard and status, even you as Christians. I'm a recovering Pharisee, all right? I am always falling back and lapsing into legalism, where I think I have to somehow perform to earn God's favor. That's my constant struggle. And I grew up in a Christian home. And thank God for my mum and dad. But part of the problem with growing up in Christianity is you inherit this very, very high standard of do's and don'ts. Even if it's not put on you. It's often just imbibed by osmosis or something. I don't know what it is. But you get this. And you think you have to climb up to get God down. That's what he's saying. You don't have to do that. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Verse 7. Or who will descend into the deep? You don't have to go into the dirt. You don't have to go through hell. That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God has been calling you, but you need to call on him. You need to answer, in other words. It's RSVP. He's calling all of us. He's near all of us. He's knocking at your heart, but you have to open the door. But you know, this is not just for people who aren't Christians. This is for all of us.
He wants you to know that he's good. Listen to what Paul says in Romans. If he delivered Christ up for us all on the cross, how shall he not freely give us all things? If you have a tight-fisted God, you've got the wrong God. If you have an angry God, you've got the wrong God. If you have a grumpy, legalist, schoolmaster, cosmic policeman, and you don't have the Father of Jesus, you've got the wrong God. But he's revealed in the gospel, and he's near tonight. The answer is in your mouth. It's so near, it's actually already inside you. If you confess Jesus is Lord. You're not making him Lord, he's already Lord. You're just catching up with reality. You're just catching up with what he's already done for you at the cross. He's already dealt with your sin. He's already done everything that needs to be done to save all of humanity. Isn't that an incredible message? It is finished. But we just need to say, yes, Lord. Jesus is Lord. I agree. I agree that you're good. And I agree that you're Lord. Let's pray. In a moment, Maria and Mark are going to lead us just in a piece or two. But there's going to be, when they finish, there's going to be a cup of tea for the rest of you to stay. But there'll be the prayer ministry team up here at the front. And they're excellent folks who are used praying with people. So I would encourage you, if you have needs, I'm going to lead you in a prayer just now, but if you have any physical, mental, emotional needs, Maria was hinting at mental issues and things are going on in her mind, but if you're here for physical healing, go to the prayer team. I have a couple of people already lined up to pray with, so if you would go to the prayer team, that would be very helpful. But if you're here tonight and you've never believed in this God, you've never received his life and his love and his truth, you've got to repent. The Bible says means change your mind, that actually this is the way he really is. The way you've been living your life hasn't been working and you've been making a mess. And do you want to come to him tonight and let him recreate you according to his love, power and truth? If that's you, let's just bow our heads. If that's you and you want to come to Jesus tonight, where you are, would you be willing to raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. Just going to acknowledge that's confession in a way. And we'll pray with you. I'll give you a prayer to pray. And you can do that between you and the Lord in the silence of your own heart right now. Is there anyone, just where you're sitting, and you want to come to him tonight? With all your baggage, doesn't matter the trouble that you have and the struggles you have and the temptations and all the rest. Is there anyone, just where you're sitting, just raise your hand and say, I want to come to Jesus tonight. Put it up and down, I'll see it. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else? Is there anyone, and you don't know this God? Now, you might be a Christian in inverted commas, so let's not get too uptight here about terminology. You've gone to church your whole life, you've asked Jesus to save you and all, but you don't really know God like this. And I have days when I don't know him like this. I'm just being honest. I have days when I'm hiding behind the bush, ashamed, for fear, because I've done something wrong. I do things wrong. But you don't know that he's there, a loving father. And he's not, I'm a father of two beautiful kids, big kids now, but if either of them had a problem, and they came to me and said, Dad, I can't do this. I'm not making anything of this. It's not working and I just keep falling over and over again. What kind of a dad would I be if I said, get out of my sight, you filthy, rotten child? What kind of a father? That's the God some of us have. But it's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is the Father that runs and embraces his stinking, filthy son covered in pig swill, kisses him on the neck and throws a robe around his filth and throws a party for him at home and brings him back, celebrating. That's our God. Who wants to have a relationship with that God? Put your hand up. I don't care how long you've been, inverted commas, saved. Put your hand up and down again. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah? God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that it's all about you, Father. And Lord, I really do not want to misrepresent you. And forgive me, because I have done over the years. I'm absolutely sure of it. And I hope I haven't done tonight in any way. But I thank you that God is love. And God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. No darkness. No shadow of turning. Thank you that perfect love drives out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, but whoever has been made perfect in love does not fear. Oh Lord, deliver us from fear. For you have not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You have not been given a spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption by which you cry out, Abba, Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy, Daddy in heaven, Father in heaven, Abba. Thank you, Jesus, that you lifted us to that place to have such a relationship with our Father God, your Father. And you can say to us, I'm going to your Father and my Father, to your God and my God. Thank you. Thank you, you've brought us in, Lord Jesus. Let not our shame, sin, and fear shut us out, because it's a lie. And I pray that those lies will crumble, those strongholds will crumble. And Lord, if you deliver Jesus for us all, how shall you not freely with him give us all things? And so may people come tonight for healing, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual healing, and know the wonder of the power of the gospel. I thank you, Lord, that it's good news. Lord, we're tired of the bad news. We need the good news. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.